This is August the 6th, Sunday.
Ye of little faith.
It's really Saturday, 1994. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Good to have my family here. In fact, there's no way to acknowledge everybody that has come to visit, ones that we truly, truly cherish, ones who don't understand what a massive job they've got in front of them, but they'll learn. Always, it seems like when one door begins to close, another one is always open, and beyond it is not necessarily better, but in my case, it will be harder work. The day is approaching that all of you have waited for. A lot of sorting, a lot of time has had to elapse. You don't go around showering great, great sums of money on ill-prepared people because you lose them. That does not mean that you cannot value resources. You can't function without these resources. And thank you, the two or three of you that are saying, "Who are you, sir?" I am Hatton, and I come in the light of God. And we're going to get closer and closer to that Godhead. We're going to have more and more joy in the midst of what you will still be calling problems. You're all alive, you're all well. Some family, some loved ones, some cherished members don't listen to you, move away from you. Let them go. Release them. It isn't your job to go and cram something down their throat. Ones out there want to call this a religion of some kind so they can deny it. They want to call me some kind of an extraterrestrial, gray, four-legged, insectual, serpentine person so they don't have to believe me. They will cry out, "Oh, peace, Father, please, give us peace, give us a job, thy will, help us." Mostly it's, "Help us get this money problem solved. God sends somebody to help you," and the first thing you do is deny their presence. Well, thank you. You have just said, "I don't believe, number one, in the holiness or the unlimitedness or the factuality of prayer response from God himself." That goes beyond religion. Goes beyond, far beyond anything in the church of any kind. I don't care what you call it. That's why we don't need a church. They keep trying to call us cult. We don't need a cult. We have God. And God has his hosts, and you're among them. You're just working in the physical plane. I get to be the commander. Because I was smarter than you. I knew the journey better than you, and you were suckers. You went on down to that place. I stayed off where I could be bossy.
We learned next time.
Like you volunteered, you know. There's no way even that we can represent our party. It's a welcome to Gay and Tissy, Evelyn and Gay, EJ sisters. We cherish them. They have been true friends. They did try yesterday all day to take turns talking. I think maybe Dharma won from the condition of her voice today. On the other hand, when you only get to share these brief moments, We just have to be patient. Always we have to be patient, and always wisdom comes out of everything. Every experience, if nothing else is gained, wisdom is gained. And it gives a chance to express and allow. You can't walk this journey alone, my good friends. And sometimes it will seem that you're all alone. Well, God's always there. These other nice people are always there. But don't overlook the fact that your loved ones are also there. And whatever the experience might be, it is a test, it is a lesson. And Gaze really had hell to pay in the last couple or 3 years. It'll be fine. Little one, it will be fine. Others have to grow. And especially do your children have to grow. There's pain on both sides. There are pains that come to all sides as you try to make it through this veil. And it's hard to accept the responsibility of our own actions and our own inability to serve and help. And it becomes almost the only salvation that one can have is to just turn away. It is never a solution. Never. But it protects for a little while. It ensures that another hurts at least as bad as you. It's all right. Because in the absence of the one who pulls away, always is the one that is the gift. In spite of you, a lot of the time. And it will be the one that is the gift, in spite of you, that will walk you through and reunite. God will never leave you stranded, but you must see it. And you also must accept it. A gift is not a gift until it is both given and received. And that situation with your beloved ones, it'll be all right. And there'll be a lot of growth on both sides. So we'll have a little cake, because Dorman doesn't know what else to do. You can't stand cake, please eat a piece of pretzel or something. The heart's in the right place. And we'll find that Ed Young's birthday's coming up. Martha, his mother, her birthday's coming up. Or past. It's right now somewhere. I could go look. I won't. Karen's just passed. So happy birthday. Welcome home. Our beloved friends from Salt Lake are here. Clint and Debbie, I can hardly wait until things work out and we get them shifted. This is where they need to be. But all things in its proper sequence. Ron has been shifted. Rick has been to see him. Rick will not be back until this evening. Ron will try to call. It is more difficult from where he is because there's more demand for the phone. And Ron has really taken a bashing lately. And I am really aggravated, except that he is big enough to take it. Or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. God sends you help. Sends you lifeboats. Sends you helicopters. And most will turn away and say, "Oh, I'm waiting for the rapture, sir." Well, good luck. Sure wish you good luck. Well, you're going to have some good luck. The law center should know. Things don't happen by accident. The new attorney that you are acquiring has represented ones like Mrs. Helmsley. Norman Mailer. Anybody notice?
Great.
God is not a slouch. And because one may fall into the category of a Khazarian, or an elitist, or a lawyer, doesn't mean that you're going to make it through this journey without them. And if you have to go to battle against them, you better damn well get somebody who can battle them on their terms. Unconditional love, I'm sick of the term. God loves unconditionally, but He puts conditions on you. And the two terms are not synonymous. Their definition is not the same. I don't care what your dictionary says. Your dictionary has been rewritten to suit the needs of the elite, just like your holy books. And you've been trained. God puts a lot of conditions on your journey. And if you want to go spend time with Him within His journey, you better shape up and understand exactly what I'm saying. And the fact that you may be left waving goodbye does not mean God did not love you. It means you ain't finished yet. You know more than God. I think I would like EJ first to read what I wrote this morning. And it'll set our direction. I want some updates on quite a few things. These are business meetings and I don't want to get off on sermon preaching.
Reminders. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in His bosom which transfigures you and me. No, He either was not born in a cattle stall, or He was not born in the lilies. Which is it? Does it matter? Why? Is the liar the one who began the probable scenario of a Jesus being born and placed in a manger? Or did the writer of the battle hymn of the Republic flub his lines? Why does it matter enough to bring to your attention? Because I am weary of being considered some fortune teller, soothsayer, or mystic, if considered anything at all. This is going to, in a matter of minutes, focus on one treasury gate, Buckley. I like Buckley, but I am going to point out a few things to you readers who are involved with him, know about him, and gold certificates, and a relationship with me, who Mr. Buckley says he does not believe in, Hatton or my scribe. Well, sorry about this statement, friends. He does pronounce his undivided attention to Jesus Christ and then turns about and denies him. How? By denying the possibility that this entity is doing right now what has been expected throughout the ages, a return with messengers to your place. Regardless of what Mr. Buckley states, he cannot have it one way or the other. He gets both or he gets neither. Now, upon what does he base his denial of one Hatton? He says that I said he was told by Ron Jackson about a sanction regarding Bill Clinton, and quote, that is not true. Well, friends, this is what I'm weary about. I am not your individual storyline play director. Number one, I was told that he was told by Jackson. Technically, I suppose, he was only told by Jackson that the, quote, committee was trying to exact one more sanction in order to gain release from prison. I do not care how or why Tommy Buckley was told about the information borne in a letter to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, FBI, CIA, everybody who could hurt Jackson, from Mary Ann Chuck of Light Bridges. Now, am I blasting Mary and Chuck? No, but they surely are blasting my friends, myself, and our resources. They did what was assumed right to do. Good. They involved themselves because things were not going to their way. And somehow it was figured out that Buckley's failures might well be resulting from Ron's lack of production. So far, Ron Jackson has not only not damaged either party, but say what? How is it that now, somehow, Ron is blamed for failure simply because he said he knew information, and by Buckley's own words, did? Agent or friend or both or neither? Good grief, what difference does it make? I am not going to take time to repeat Buckley's long newsletter or his hotline phone calls, which go on and on, but I can promise you from here on in there shall be no further assistance from this sector unless there is at least an open mind to possibilities. The promises and upstart of Treasury Gates seem to include the doing good for nation and mankind. Most participants put in their money expecting billions each in return, and damn little is now being placed for the goodness of God's work or freedom of man, much the less humans. From where and how did Mr. Buckley happen to come into control of such massive value in certificates? He states into the multi-trillions of dollars of value. Were they his? Where did he get them? Do you see that without information I cannot state anything but negative drivel, just as he assumes and does regard both myself and Contact? This also includes Rick Martin of Contact, who has done nothing except help and publicize both Buckley and Treasury Gate. There is nothing in return, nothing expected, and yet, somehow, it is made to appear that the very ones who helped are the insulting party. This is the insult. We have nothing expected or through, such as Treasury Gate. Whatever the past history may be of one Ron Jackson, he is at the least a special forces person of some kind, with at least 6 known Social Security numbers, several identities, but usually bearing the same name, and thus and so, a prime picture of a government agent. You are told that this Ron Jackson, with an IQ rating by the government of over 217 points, graduated last in his senior class. Interesting? Ron hasn't hidden things from you. We alone published some of the first volume of Camelot. This man is an admitted assassin. Do you not think it a probability that he has a rather morbid and incredibly difficult childhood and experience? Would it not be doubly terrible to be so bright and be mistreated in the manner in which it will become known was Ron Jackson?
Ron Jackson was almost beaten to death by his own father, periodically, frequently.
Stop it, readers. It so happens that God has tried to attend some of the churches in his name and was thrown out as a misfit and hippie. Yes, indeed, the same Jesus Christ running his own testing system. Do you see? It was what a man is that is important to God, never what a man was. I suggest you stop judging either Jackson or Jesus. I want to point out that information valuable to Buckley or anyone else involved in this game has been right on target and checked out. Did he get it clandestinely? Did he simply pick it up from other writers and Contact? Who cares? I want to remind all of you that all 5 volumes of the Camelot series were written long before Mr. Jackson was so much as introduced to anyone of the current players, including Contact, and certainly Mr. Buckley or Light Bridges. Phone credit card numbers. Come now, Mr. Buckley. On that same phone number, there were calls made from other places. Better check it out. Texas, on that stolen number. Another thing that Mr. Jackson is really good at is having ones who can instantly get information from any computer system in the world. Mr. Jackson or Contact are not the problem with any resolution to the Treasury Gate problems, and it would appear that you rather deserve to lose some very substantial help by this kind of blame and sanctimonious, religious, holier-than-thou type of behavior. Who was Mohammed Boyles? Do you really think this man was somehow not watched, not followed, and not susceptible to attracting murder? He didn't produce for you. Why do you now blame others for his own possible actions? This place, Tehachapi, is important also. There was a full military operation in which my own crew and shuttleship took visible part and was reported in San Luis Obispo County within the year. Do you think calls, including to some sex hotlines, were made on a stolen card from Tehachapi accidentally? I am not impressed with your deductions, Mr. Buckley. Do I expect an apology? Of course not, because somehow God or God's troops do not deserve either thank yous or apologies, just accept blame and confusion and insult in pious unconditional love. Well, that may be, but some others in this picture not only deserve apologies, but had better be receiving same, or I think you can realize the wondrous lack of help there will be forthcoming in the future. For this, now becoming an unworthy cause. Will Ron Jackson continue to help Treasury Gate? I don't know. I am not Mr. Buckley or Ron Jackson. I do not want to tell you readers. Correction. I do want to tell you readers, however, that Mr. Jackson can destroy that last tiny thread of possibility for Mr. Buckley. Fortunately, Jackson wants to help save your constitutional form of government and this country. We note that Treasury Gate has members and would be very helpful in numbers of participants in such an effort. But the basis of Treasury Gate is individual acquisition of money, and that indicates an almost lost cause. The time of the Lord is at hand, when the thrust of fulfillment of cause is toward the negative aspect and damage to the whole of the citizenry. Then it is difficult to offer too much assistance to anyone only to be blamed and called a liar and thief. I wish all of you in Treasury Gate well. By the way, Mr. Buckley, I would like to repeat something. The Saddam Hussein certificate did not come to contact from Ron Jackson. Ron Jackson got his copy from contact. So, who is the possible bigger false conclusion acceptor? Nanu, Nanu.
I see.
Help. I don't care if Mr. Jackson were the devil himself. He has only helped every one of you involved. If he is a simple con man, he is at the least and informed about everything con man. He has called the right kind of attention to you each and all. He certainly has not damaged your chances, as he has focused attention, gathered in interested parties, and caused the elite to pay attention. What do you have before Mr. Jackson that was so confounded wonderful? It seems to me that we have been sharing and assisting Treasury Gate for a very long time now, while everyone waits for nothing to get finished or any payoff at all. Now, within weeks, somehow, it is the fault of one Ron Jackson, who is yet in prison, and a newspaper, for printing the only accurate document about Treasury Gate in an effort to assist, because some of our best friends are involved. Guarantee. I can promise you that Mr. Jackson had very good reasons for telling the Clinton story. He is exactly who he claims to be. Perhaps you just haven't found out who he claims to be. One other small point I wish to offer in this brief response to the last Treasury Gate lambaste at us and Jackson is to note one reason for distrust of Jackson as offered by Buckley. Buckley says that Jackson wouldn't give the name of the undersecretary. Well, I don't believe that Mr. Buckley gives the name of Mr. Important either, and called Keith Boyles Mohammed. I'm sorry, but discretion moves in both directions, and you have proven that you will rat on and damage Ron Jackson to the very limit of his life and actually deny me, sent in answer to your very own prayers, to that one you call Jesus, Christ, and God. Thank you very much. Then you ones state that you will give him an opportunity to prove otherwise, or words to that effect. Forget it, brothers. He, just like me, has to prove nothing to anyone, especially to you who would blackball, dirty mouth, deny, and demand from. Prove something? When are you going to prove yourselves? Or is it possible you have? All you have to do to prove me is go look at the ships with colored lights every night of your lives. Right now we can be seen day or night. Love hugs. Chuck writes something interesting, some interesting observations at the end of one of his letters, which includes, quote, "Let's move from death threats to love hugs." Sounds good? Perhaps. It is a fact, however, that the assumed kiss of love has often been the kiss of death. And remember that more backstabbings are done through the love hug position than any other position, as it places the hands in proper position for same. Further, by suggesting that Mr. Jackson tell you where the active nuclear bombs are located so the, quote, proper U.S. authorities can get them, is also a bit difficult to understand. Who are the proper U.S. authorities? Secondly, not only Mr. Jackson, but I have told you exactly where those live bombs are located, how and why. Do you actually believe that an appeal to the CIA, FBI, NSA, NSC, USS, the judicial system, Congress, etc., good people, will detox those bombs? It is one sure way of getting them detonated. Ponder that. I would also suggest that Buckley look very carefully at his friend of a very short while and consider, instead of Jackson taking him down the wrong path, where was Boyles actually taking Buckley? Oh, prove it. Jackson gain? Buckley seems to place a lot of lack of importance on this person, Jackson, and on this limited distribution paper contact. I suggest that contact drop Mr. Buckley from the free mailing list, please. Only portions of the paper which he chooses to use to destroy you are being read, the remainder denied by his own words. God gets tired of trying to reach through the morass of tangled webs and traps to offer insight. I can guarantee you something else, readers. If Ron Jackson is a total fraud, con man, liar, or whatever, I want such a brilliant brain working with me, not against me. I accept him for that which he proclaims, and I shall call him by whatever name he wishes to utilize as a label. I am not here to judge, denounce, or criticize one Ron Jackson. He expresses desire and full intent to work with me. Of course, he does have the added advantage of knowing me and do something to the best of his ability, which is quite unlimited, for God and country. I wish I could get such commitment from the rest of you who claim glorious desire and total focus while actually seeking unrelentingly the negative facts to prove why a man or a thing will not work. If you will give a tenth as much energy into making a thing work and creating a possibility into probability and then into reality, what a nice world this would be. Gay and Evelyn, thank you for coming. Dorma and EJ need your love and support, for I have required... Hello, go on. I'm sorry.
And he didn't even get to talk yesterday.
I have required incredible service of them for these past 7 years. I would speak of that now. I think maybe, Brent, if you'd help here.
Sure. Seven years from August 17th, 1987. Doris and EJ were told in the fall of 1986 that their lives would be hard, publicly terror-filled, and busy, beginning then and running at least the following 7 years. I did, however, promise that I would attend them, and that which would appear terrible would work out, and it has. It may not seem like it has worked out goodly always, but I promise you that it has. You were told emphatically that between the fourth and eighth year of that period, it would be chaos, and it has been, as we have structured a foundation upon which all else can be based as we move forward. On August 17th, 1994, you will enter your eighth year of the old or new counting of the calendar, now being utilized by our team and the ancients, both waiting and returned. I am indebted for the service and the joy of our association so far. Ah, precious ones, I am who I say I am, and you shall not be disappointed. Others come and go, some stay. Many have come and gone, damaged and destroyed, served and helped beyond any call or expectation. I am honored by both. Those who seem to have damaged were the teachers, are the teachers, which allow perfection in our planning and within our own classroom. Discipline has often been hard and painful, as one's had to swallow ego and accept responsibilities different from first perceptions. But as with a precision gear mechanism, all burrs must be honed away, and the meshing and sequence of integration of gear cogs must be set into perfection of timing. If ones cannot comprehend and must attend only for their tiny little cells of ego selves, this is not the place to be. I have to warn and remind you, when you say you believe me, but not everything, this is fine. However, when you hurt one of my teammates, you prove that you do not believe me. In this statement, I can directly refer to the hurt that is now inflicted on Ron Jackson. He has brought you nothing but hope, fun, excitement, and possibilities, and you lash out and pull down because he has been unable to furnish you with what? Ah, I thought so. Ron Jackson has done more for the credibility of Tommy Buckley in Treasury Gate than any one other entity on the face of the globe, con man or saint. You people had best start attending that which you do and say, because all the retractions cannot undo this painful damage presented in total ignorance. Thank you. I do wish to thank ones for finding out about whatever is being shared. It will only allow you to see why there is probability of success through this man's assistance.
Brent, I would like to, when you're through with this, to read. I believe that's the one.
Okay.
We may as well just spend the afternoon getting to know each other.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I do wish to thank ones for finding out about whatever is being shared. It will only allow you to see why there is probability of success through this man's assistance. If you do not see it, then you certainly need to study the journals carefully. As we close, I ask that Gay read her observations in writing on life. This is not what she calls her subject, but it is wonderful. I want it on this tape, in her projection and language, and as well, please run it in the paper. If you people don't wisen up and sort that which is fun, experience, and worthy of your attention and your humor, then this coming journey will get very, very tough on you. When you get ready to reach out and touch someone like God, he'll be waiting, and so will we of his team. Salud.
Okay. It's the Light Bridges.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is a fax which was sent to the contact office yesterday, Friday, August 5th, 1994, from Mr. Charles Wright of Light Bridges. And the subject, update information on Ronald Lee Jackson, and then it states six different Social Security numbers. And this is Charles Wright, his letter. I drove up to Newcastle, Indiana on Sunday, July 31st, and arrived on Monday, August 1st, 1994. I went to the Newcastle Chrysler High School, where Ron graduated from in 1956. I was told that Ron is the world's biggest bullshitter by several people, excuse my French, his French, who graduated with him and worked with him. I showed them the videotape of Ron Jackson that was done on 3/31/94 by Barbara Scott. Four people said that was not Ronnie. They remembered him as being red-haired, freckled, and fat. The following day on Tuesday, I located Ronnie's younger brother in Parker City, Indiana. And he looked at the video and said that it was his brother, Ronald Lee Jackson. David said that Ron has aged a lot and now looks like their dad, Charles Jackson. The boy's mother, Dorothy Tower, remarried to Robert M. Woodward. Ron did not go to Purdue or Stanford. In fact, the high school grade transcripts were sent from 1960 to 1973 to the following places: Ventura, California, Toledo University, Beneficial Finance in Hollywood, California, and San Francisco State College or University.
Sounds good to me.
Ron told me and several others, including friends in Newcastle, that he has a BA and an MA from Purdue and a PhD from Stanford in the 70s. Fact, he was ranked 2 from the bottom of his class of 300 students in his 1956 graduating senior class. Fact, he went into the U.S. Marine Corps right out of high school, and before that he tried to enlist into the Army, but they would not take him. His brother told me that he stole from and conned the family for years. He lived in California and Newcastle and returned back to Newcastle to live 3 or 4 times. He would lie to his boss and con him into giving an advance commission on furniture that he said he sold, and he did the same thing with his boss when he sold used cars. Once he used a $1,500 construction advance to pay off his bar tab instead of buying building materials with it. He drank heavily from high school days to the present and would drink his businesses into the ground, one in particular where he sold widescreen TVs in California. His brother David is the one who introduced him to Glenlivet Scotch. David said that Ronnie is not welcome in his house. The stepfather, Robert M. Woodward, would beat the boys, and had he been living today and beat David and Ronnie the way he beat them then, he would be in prison for child abuse. This was backed up by several people in town and David Jackson, who is Ron's younger brother. Ron Jackson was born on October 20th, 1938, in Newcastle, Indiana, Henry County. When he went into the United States Marine Corps, his home address was 728 South 22nd Street, and his phone number was 4567. The house is no longer there, and now the Eatwood Elementary School sits there. Ron has written in his book, The Death of Camelot, and told me on the phone that he has planted 3 Russian-built nuclear bombs in the United States, one in Washington, D.C., one in Colorado Springs, and one in Texas. He has control of the bombs and is using them as his personal life insurance policy against the members of COOPS. COOPS stands for Committee of Universal Peace and Economic Stabilization, and was formed by the CFR, or Council on Foreign Relations, and there are now 17 members on that committee, Warren Christopher being codenamed A5, who is Ron's boss. The codes that he puts at the end of each chapter in his book, The Death of Camelot, are 060, well, I don't need to read those. He says that he can access these bombs through his voice-activated computer called a Atom One. He also said that he performed 135 sanctions, or murders, for COOPS from 1963 to 1985. Prior to the sanctions, he carried and delivered cocaine and money for COOPS. Now, there are 2 major reasons why I think Ronald Lee Jackson might be who he says he is. Number one, yesterday, while I was telling the above to Rick Martin on the telephone, he received a call from a lady who he has talked to before, who says she worked for the Secret Service and she knew Ron Jackson back in the early 60s, and that Ron also worked for the Secret Service. Rick heard this woman and Ron talk on a 3-way conference call through his office telephone equipment, and Rick said they talked like old buddies. So when this lady called while I was talking with Rick yesterday morning, he put her on the line and we had a 3-way conversation. She identified herself as Ace High and said Ron knew her as the Big Red One. In fact, Ron mentions this name, Big Red One, I think maybe in his book, The Death of Camelot. Ace High said that when she worked for the Secret Service, starting with Eisenhower, none of her family knew what she was doing, and in fact, because she was gone for long periods of time, they probably thought she was shacking up with someone somewhere, and these are her words. Rick mentioned to me that there is also his experience in investigating these deep cover agents, that most of them are looked down upon by their family and friends and community as con men, derelicts, drunks, etc. Later in another conversation with Tommy Buckley in Texas, he said that Dr. McFarlane was also thought of this way by his family and friends and community too. So it looks like Ron could have indeed been recruited by Koops in 1963 while he was in the employ of the United States Secret Service without his family and friends knowing anything. Two, Ron came up with the correct hexadecimal computer codes of the certificates that were given to Tommy Treasury Gate Buckley. Buckley verified the codes because the same codes had been given to him by a CIA agent before Ron had ever given them to him. Number three, several other reasons to believe that Ron might be who he says he is. 90% of the information that he gave to Tommy Buckley was verified by Mohammed, who we now know as Keith Boyles, who died of a brain hemorrhage on 7/7/94. The names that Ron has provided to the Contact newspaper, the names who are members of COOPS and who are involved in the U.S. government drug smuggling network, do not appear in other conspiracy books. So Ron either is good in making up names or he knows what he's talking about. Ron simply knows too many facts that agree with the investigative work of others, such as Dr. John Coleman and Rodney Stitch and Russbacher. Ron said that when he was recruited by COOPS, he thought it was a government agency, but not until years later did he realize that he was killing for a secret Rockefeller committee that controls the three most powerful families of the 12 families that control the finances of the world. He said that the reason he wrote the book, The Death of Camelot, was to expose COOPS. A large portion of the book has already been published by the Anza Valley newspaper in Anza, California, and this was done on a weekly basis for a year and a half. Much has also been published in the Contact newspaper. So if Ron is who he says he is, then he needs to divulge the location of the three live active nuclear bombs to the proper U.S. authorities.
Sure.
Yeah.
Shall we take a vote?
Yeah,
democracy must reign.
Let's tell Bubba Snorty.
Right. Bubba Snorty ought to be in charge of it.
Why do people sit in silence and let these dangerous world players hold the rest of us in hostage with their madness? I would say, why indeed? That's a good question for everybody. Let's move from secrets to open truths. Let's move from death threats to love hugs. If the clean players in the CIA, oh, this is a joke. If the clean players in the CIA, FBI, NSA, NSC, USSS, blah, 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 the judicial system, Congress, etc., are really servants for the people, they will serve their nation in open truth and action within a government that is by the people. The old
paradigm.
I couldn't control her.
Of secrets is getting thin, and the new paradigm of truth is getting stronger. Go with this flow of the universe. It will support your heart and actions. Peace, love, and light. From Charles Wright. Are we done?
You're done for a minute. Okay. I don't think I'll make you suffer through Treasury Gate. But it's a long one, and you all ought to read it. It's quite unkind, and then he wraps it up by saying, well, we'll wait and see. You know, Rick had called him back, and or he had talked to Rick, and, well, there were some possibilities here. Before we turn to some real wisdom, let's pay a little bit of attention to this. It sounds like I am all down on Buckley. I'm all down on Chuck. That is certainly not true. Light Bridges was established by these beautiful people because they are trying to help. And they were caught in a situation where they are involved with Treasury Gate. There are a lot of ones that you would recognize that are involved in Treasury Gate, from Canada to southern Texas to Virginia, all across the country. Once put in their money, bought a ticket, if you will, into something called Green Light. I haven't bothered to pay any attention to this. It came up and it was so far out that there was no way they were ever going to get anything done. They were all going to lose whatever they had put in. And certainly, percentage-wise, what they were expecting out was outrageous.
One of those times.